Many of you have probably heard of the Appalachian Trail. It's a popular hiking trail that crosses 14 states, and it's about 2,200 miles long. Well, back in 2013, a lady by the name of Geraldine, she took a hike on that trail. Her and a friend decided to take a three-day journey to get outdoors and to enjoy the scenery. And so the first day into the hike, this friend of Geraldine had a family emergency come up, and she had to go back, so Geraldine continued on her own. Well, the plan was to meet her husband 3 days down the road. He would pick him up at a certain rendezvous point. And when her husband went later on to meet her, she wasn't there. And so, because she was missing, he sent out a search party, and they looked for her for a little less than a week, and they couldn't find her. Well, just last year, at the end of last year, they found her body. And what was interesting is this lady kept a journal. And she wrote many things that, to me, were shocking because you wouldn't think of some of the things that happened. She did die of hunger, which is natural, and exposure to the elements. But she wrote in there the reason that basically she lost her life. All she did was simply step off the path to use the bathroom. And when she did that, she didn't realize at that moment that she would never find her way back. She got disoriented, she got turned around, and she could never find the path again. The other thing that was interesting was that she lived for 26 days after she left the path. Approximately 3 weeks after the search party stopped looking for her, she still continued on until she had no more food and ran out of energy and died. So she had no idea of the consequence of leaving that path. She didn't fall and break a leg. She didn't meet a wild animal. She simply chose to leave that path, and she was planning on coming back, but she never did. Why do I share this story? Because it has a spiritual application for each one of us. We are asked to walk a path of life that God has set us on, and if we get off that trail, if we get lost, we may never find our way back. Geraldine died from hunger, and we're told to hunger for God's righteousness, to hunger and thirst for that. And if we don't get fed by that, we know that we could die literally as well, spiritually, I should say. And so God's word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path, and God expects us to walk that path and to continue in it. And we can die spiritually if we get separated from God, if we're not nourished by Him. Let's begin in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. It was a little less than 2 months ago that we kept the Feast of Pentecost. And we know that pictures the time when God poured out His Spirit on His church. And so let's notice here what it says about God's Spirit here as Paul writes to Titus. Titus 3, and we'll begin in verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. Doesn't this sound like all of us before God calls us out of the world? Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Now let's notice how He does that. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so God's Spirit is what enables us to be prepared for the kingdom of God. And yet we decide if we want to be a part of it. God calls us, but we have to make that choice and to stay on that path. And so without God's Spirit, we are incomplete. Just look at our daily lives and the things that we have done in the past and even now. The things we say, the things we think and do, they're not always in line with God's will. It's why God tells us that we're naturally hostile to Him. And so we have to be careful on how we act. We must surrender to God's will, which means that we need to let go of our ways, our natural ways. We need to let God lead us so that we can stay on that path of life. I've entitled this message, Stir Up the Gift of God. You know, in the book of Romans, Paul writes, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It's a beautiful passage, and it says so much. Brethren, if we're not led by that Spirit, what that's telling us is that we're not His children. It's plain and simple. Those aren't my words. Those are God's. Unless we have that Spirit abiding in us, we are not considered His children. And so the Holy Spirit is one of the most amazing gifts that we will ever be given. And so we need to appreciate that. We need to be thankful for that. I want to today encourage all of us to use the gift of the Spirit that God has offered to us, to direct our thoughts towards what He's doing towards us and how He's working in us so that we grow daily. God's power is what helps us to keep on the right path. It's what will allow us to enter the kingdom of God. So we need to consider that in everything we do. Think of a couple things that God's Spirit does for us. One thing is that it's free. You know, how many things in life are free? Anything of value costs money. And yet God says, I offer you this free gift. Of course, there are conditions. We know that we have to do certain things that God tells us, and there can be conditions on any gift. If I give a gift to my children, I could say, but you need to do this. You need to send me the envelope or the package so I can send the gift. We can set conditions, which is what God has done. Also, God's Spirit is powerful. How much power? It's hard to tell. It's limitless, and He makes that available to each one of us. And so when you think about how there's an endless source of that power, it won't run out as so many things in life do. We say, my tank ran out of gas, but God says, my Spirit will always be available, and we need to use that in our lives. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 35. Luke 1, verse 35. Brethren, we know that the Holy Spirit is the very presence of God actively working in His children. And so the background here in Luke is this is prior to Mary, the mother of Jesus, giving birth. And so the angel Gabriel has come to her and he mentions some words. Let's notice what he says here in verse 35 of Luke 1. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And so imagine for a moment, it's talking about this power that would come upon her. Imagine that power. The same power that God used to open the Red Sea. The power that He used to bring forth the plagues on Egypt, or to knock down the walls of Jericho. Amazing things that really stagger our minds. We go, how do you do that, God? But He has that power. He can stop the mouths of lions. He can make it so that someone can be thrown in a fiery furnace and not even feel any heat. I mean, you talk about that power, and yet that's what God is willing to share with us, what He's willing to place within us. That power is available to us if we obey, if we repent, if we are humble and allow God to work through us. Let's turn a few pages forward to Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. I want us to focus for a moment that God's telling us how powerful He is and that that can be supplied to us. He returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of Him went out through all the surrounding region. And so God is letting us know as His children that this power is available to us. In the book of Micah, Micah chapter 3 and verse 4, I'll just refer to it. It says, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord." And so God reiterates it many times in the scriptures of how this power is available to us. We know that God is composed of Spirit, and He desires to place that Spirit in us, making us His children. It's what enables us to become the children of God and to grow in His nature, to have His character being developed in us. Let's go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 4 and verse 23. John 4, verse 23. We'll notice the words of Christ here. He says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. This is the way we worship. It has to be with that Spirit leading us. Verse 24, God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so if we're not allowing the lead of God's Spirit to guide us and direct us, then we are not preparing for our future in the way that he intended. This process allows us to become the begotten children of God. No, not yet born into the family. That will come at our change. But now we're in a developing stage, just like a baby and its mother. It's already considered our child when it's in the mother, but it's not yet born. And so God is preparing us to be born into the family of God. And so having that power available to us is what enables us to take on the nature of God. And that's what he's working out in us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4 and see a little more about what God reveals regarding his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 4 and 5. And what Paul is writing here, the message that he is offering, applies to us today. In verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 2, he says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So notice how God offers this power, but as humans, we can look to man's wisdom sometime, and we have to be careful of that because there's error mixed in with that. There's false things that are added to that. And so we have to be careful as we watch items on television, as we listen to the radio, as we read books. There's things injected in there that are not all of God's wisdom, it's man's wisdom as we read here. Let's look at verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." And so notice that it's been ordained what God is doing. In other words, predestined. He's predetermined. He didn't predetermine who would be in his kingdom, but that how it would all work out and that everyone would be invited into his kingdom. And so the wisdom of God is a mystery in that it's a secret from the world. They can't understand it. It's been concealed for the time being. Notice verse 9. Here we have a quote from Isaiah, and it's powerful what it says. "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Without God's Spirit, we have no concept of the plan of God. We need to stop and think about that. In order to understand the things that are from God, we need to have his Spirit. Here it tells us those who love God. And in John 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's how we show if we love God, by living by his laws, by obeying him. And people in this world can't see what God is doing unless he calls them, unless they respond to that by changing, by repenting, and then that Spirit is available to them. Verse 10 says, "But God has revealed them," and them, that's the spiritual things. God has revealed these spiritual things to us through his Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." And so it's only with God's help that we can understand these spiritual truths. That's why in the world they have so many false ideas about things like if you die, you go to heaven. That's not what the Scriptures reveal, but it's concealed from them. It's hidden. Others believe that everybody should be saved now, but we know based on the Bible, God is only calling first fruits at this time. Others think that the law is done away, but God's Word clearly shows that his laws are holy and just and good, and we should live by them. And so if we don't have the Spirit of God, then our eyes cannot see these mysteries, these secret things. Let's look at the first part of verse 11. "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" And so this spirit of man that is referred to here is what God gives to every single human being. It gives us the ability to reason, to think, to design, to plan. It's our cognitive ability that God allows us to have so that we can live life properly. Let's look at the second half of verse 11. He compares here the spirit of man, then he says, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And so here we have two totally different things, which I think a lot in the world do not understand. We need both of them put together. Without man, with the Spirit in man, this ability that God gives us, without the Spirit of God, we are incomplete. And so our spirit in man was designed to connect with the Holy Spirit so that we're led in that direction, on that path, and able to develop the character of God. It's similar to having a huge ship out on the sea. And it has, let's say that's the spirit in man, and you have this ability to put things on the ship and the sails and to move, but without the rudder, you have no direction. And God's Spirit is what combines with us to give us direction in life, and that's what he's offering us. Let me read or refer to Job chapter 32 and verse 8. He says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. So this is what God gives to every man out there, every man, woman, and child, this ability to reason and plan and think. But the Holy Spirit is what is God's power and mind and essence, and he's giving that in time increments as he chooses to call everybody. And so, brethren, to properly grow, we need both elements in us. We already have the Spirit in man. We need that Holy Spirit working in us. For us to understand the things of God, in other words, his plan, his purpose, his laws, we need his Holy Spirit. And that really explains the direction of the world today, doesn't it? You look out there and you see the news and you hear of different events and you realize some of the decisions that are made by leaders and so forth, that the Holy Spirit is not working there because it's confusion and it's all leading to destruction. And even though you look in the world and with that spirit in man, some people have a really high IQ. Others have super memories. I mean, I can't remember sometimes what I just thought I would do when I left the room right before and I got here and I go, but some people have ability to memorize, you know, the whole Bible almost. And so you look at these abilities that God has given us as man, but he's saying without that spirit, it's incomplete. And so we have the ability to travel to the moon, and yet we can't figure out that abortion is wrong as a nation. You see what I'm saying? This is why God wants these two connected together. And so the Holy Spirit combines with our human spirit to convict us of how to live. And we know there's a time in the future, Joel talks about it, when God's Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. And that will be so amazing. A time when he opens the doors for everyone to be called and understand his truth. It's easy for us to take for granted the path that you and I have been invited to walk at this time. And without that Spirit, we will not stay on that path. At times, we can have one foot on that path, can't we? And another foot kind of in the world, walking, you know, we can't separate our legs too far, so we're in a sense fighting. We say, well, I can get a little bit in the world, I can do a few things, and that's when we sin or we don't repent quickly. But eventually, I think the tendency is more so to pull the good foot off the path instead of pulling the other foot back on, because that's how we naturally are. And that's why we need God's help. And if we step off that path, as that lady I mentioned, we may not find our way back. And so God is very generous with us to help us and lead us, but we have to not take advantage of that and just say, well, I can step off the path a little bit, I'll jump back on tomorrow. No, we don't know. We do not know. Just like that lady, she did not realize the consequence of the first moment she stepped off. That would lead to her death. And we have to be careful spiritually, because we've seen people throughout our history that have left and they haven't found their way back. Now, maybe they will, and I hope they do. But we can't take that chance. We cannot get off the path of life. So God's Spirit, his mind and his power, helps us to see the path. It provides the light to stay on that path. And it gives us the strength to walk down that road and to continue in that way. In other words, to endure to the very end. And so the Bible reveals several different ways in which the Holy Spirit helps us. I'd like to discuss a few of those ways. And so my first point that I want to look at is the Holy Spirit guides us. It guides us. This is how God motivates and empowers us. He literally leads us. And yet sometimes we resist that. We can fight that. And we know the Holy Spirit doesn't push us. It doesn't pull you. It doesn't force you. It gently leads us. It reminds me of the scripture talking about a time in the millennium when we're changed to spirit and we have the opportunity to help the masses. And we say, this is the way, walk you in it. See, we're not forcing anybody. We don't build character by being forced, but God is giving us a choice. And so that enables us to have that opportunity to walk in His way. And so God's Spirit does not keep us from sinning. Sometimes we think, wow, that would be nice. Once I have that Spirit, I won't sin. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't keep us from sinning, and it doesn't make us do what is right. It shows us the way. It guides us. And we have to make that choice. Let's go to John chapter 16 to look at this point a little further. John 16, verse 7. You know, here Jesus Christ is explaining when He would send the Holy Spirit and what it would do for us. And that's a tremendous blessing that we have in our lives. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it to you. And so, brethren, you think about that. Christ did depart. He did ascend and sits at the right hand of His Father. And so that Helper, that Holy Spirit, is now available to those whom God calls. Verse 8, and when it has come, it will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And so it has convicted us of sin, and it will do so in the future for those as God calls them. They begin to see what sin is and how they need to repent of it. And with God's help, they can do that. God's Spirit is working with our consciences. And that conscience is a knowing within. We kind of know within certain things. But once God calls us out of the world, we need to educate our conscience. We need to know what is right and wrong, because we can reason right around God's laws. So God's Spirit helps us to recognize and avoid the sin. And so that guilty feeling that we get when we do something wrong, you know, as a kid, when we grabbed a cookie without asking, we're kind of looking to see, you know, if we were going to get caught, that guilty feeling is like, you better stop and think. Something's not quite right here. Why else do you feel guilty? So we need to consider that feeling. It's not a bad thing to have. But with God's Spirit, it motivates us to turn from doing wrong and to listen to the conscience as we educate it. Let's notice verse 13 here in chapter 16. It says here, however, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth. So we're talking about now God's Spirit guiding us. And He's telling us that's what it does. It will guide you into all truth, for it will not speak on its own authority. But whatever it hears, it will speak. And it will tell you things to come. And so, do you let God's Spirit guide you? Or do you continually step off the path? You know, looking for better options, looking for a little more enjoyment in life, whatever. We have to be very careful that we let that Spirit guide us. It gives us a deeper comprehension. It helps us to see where that path leads. I mean, brethren, we know that the end of that path is the kingdom of God. And God's saying, that's why I want all of you as my children to stay on the path. The end of that path is beautiful and wonderful. And my Spirit is the only way that you could make it to the end of that path. And so our wisdom is incomplete without the Holy Spirit. As the Scripture says, we should not lean on our own understanding. We need to let that Spirit, as it talks about here, guide us every single day of our life. Let's look at chapter 15, just the previous chapter and almost the last verse there. Chapter 15, verse 26 of John. Notice what it says. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, it will testify of me. So I want you to notice that Christ sends this to us through the Father. It's the Father that sends the Spirit. And when we're led by that Spirit, we're considered God's children. Now let's go back a few pages to John chapter 6 and verse 63. John 6, verse 63. And as we look at the various scriptures, we see how important it is to have this helper, the Spirit and power of God working in our lives. Notice what it says here in John 6:63. It is the Spirit which gives life. Think about that. Without it, we truly don't have the type of life God wants us to have. The Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. And so, brethren, these are important words for us to think about. We have no chance of life. It's talking about eternal life here. That without the Spirit of God, we cannot join the family of God. And so God's power prepares us to do that. Think about the statement here that God's words are Spirit and they are life. That tells us very clearly that it's important for us to study these words daily so that we have the direction through this spiritual understanding that God is offering us. Without Him, we don't have the life that we should be leading and walking in. And so we need to study every single day and allow it to give us a way to be guided by God. Back in Romans, Paul mentioned that the law is spiritual. So here we not only see that God's words are Spirit, but the law is spiritual. That's back in Romans 7:14. And so we need to search out the Scriptures and to prove all things, to determine as we hear things in the world, like, is this right or wrong? Well, we have to look to God's Word to verify that. These laws require God's help to properly understand them in order to keep them. So that's why we must begin living by God's laws in order to receive His Spirit. And proof of that is in Acts 5:32. God tells us that if we don't obey, that we won't receive His Spirit. So we must begin obeying once we, you know, have God's calling and we begin to see what we should be doing. And so this gift helps us to understand the purpose of the law, why we should live it, what it does for us. It shows us how to live the way of love. That's all God is simply doing, is He's teaching us the way He's always lived by. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1:21. We know that God has directed His prophets through the Holy Spirit, you know, to write down the things that they were inspired to pin out and to have for our understanding today. 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so these prophets were moved. They were led by the Spirit, which is what God's telling all of us to do. And so God is guiding all things through His Spirit. He guided the prophets, He guided the apostles, and He's guiding us today to be able to follow the lead of that Spirit. And so you and I choose whether we're guided by it. You know, we can resist it, we can fight it, but as we grow and learn, we need to say, no, I need to surrender and allow God to help me and change me. And so we're not forced to stay on God's path. So we have to make that choice and to have it renewed daily so that it leads us in everything we do. So we need to stir up the Spirit of God so that it will continue to guide us for the rest of our life, every day staying on that path. And you just think about how beautiful of a quality God's Spirit is, and to make sure that we do stir it up daily. Let's look at a second point regarding the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us. So we saw that it guides us, but it also teaches us. And we recognize that in society, don't we? As parents, as we raise our children, we're teaching them all about English and history and science. Everything that, and they soak it up so well, but we spend years doing that. Well, that's what God's doing with us as His children. He's training us for our future, just like we did with our children. And so our Heavenly Father is teaching us the way of love, the way of peace. And He teaches us through His Word and through His Spirit, which is critical for us to have that active in our lives. Let's go back to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 26. John 14, verse 26. You know, we've seen so far that the Holy Spirit is very important to have in our lives. Without it, we're not the children of God. Without it, we aren't prepared to enter the kingdom of God. Without the Holy Spirit, we won't fulfill our purpose in life. Notice what it says here in verse 26 of John 14. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, so it defines what the Helper is, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And so there's three things that I want to just focus on for a moment here in this verse. It says, first of all, that God the Father sends the Spirit. And so we need to consider that. There's certain things that the Father does that we can read right over. So he sends the Spirit. We also know in John 6:44 that he's the one that calls us. And we'll read a little bit later, but he's the one that resurrects us. And so we can take note of that in this verse. The second item I want to notice in this verse is that it says the Holy Spirit teaches us all things that are necessary for life. And so as you read the scriptures, they're getting you ready for eternal life. That's why we shouldn't go a day without reading them. We can't avoid that. It's really a matter of life and death, of just reading the scriptures and being renewed with God's ways. Also notice here it tells us that God's power helps us to remember. It helps us to remember. And you know how much we forget in life. I mean, if I asked you what the sermon was 2 weeks ago, you go, wow, I don't even know if I was here. You know, it's that much of a thing that we deal with. We can't remember very well. And so we need to allow God's Spirit to bring things to mind. And if you think about it, we need to put it in our minds first, don't we? We cannot remember what we've never put there. And so God is asking us to study it, and then he will bring it forth. Our parents, when we grew up, admonished us to remember things. Remember to wash your hands. Remember to do your homework. Remember to say thank you. We heard all those things growing up, didn't we? And so the idea is not only to bring it to mind when they tell you, but to act on it. And so that's what God is doing. He's saying, I'm asking you to remember these things, but I also want you to take the next step and to begin living by them, so that you walk in the way that Jesus Christ walked. And so one of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to bring to remembrance what Jesus Christ taught. And God will help us to do that. How well do you remember what God is working out here on this earth? That's what we need to be thinking about and putting into our minds. It comes down to our action each day. Whether you are led by the Holy Spirit, whether I'm led by it. God is saying, I make it available. What are you doing? Are you using it? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, and we'll look a little more here at what we were reading earlier. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. We read up to verse 12 earlier. And brethren, we all here have access to God's Holy Spirit, every single one of us. If we're baptized, we have it dwelling in us. And for those children, those not yet baptized yet, God's Spirit is working with you, leading you to that point where you will commit for the rest of your lives and live by his laws. And so either way, we have that to active, or we have access to that in our lives. Let's notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And so the Holy Spirit helps us to understand what God is offering to us. He said it's freely given. And so when we start looking at our lives, we go, God has freely given us life, physical life even. He freely forgives us. He freely has mercy on us. And we know this through his Spirit when we start thinking about it. He gives us the knowledge of his truth. All these things he freely pours out upon us. We understand our purpose and that we can have eternal life. And another thing, how we determine all this in a proper way is through God's Holy Spirit, which is also freely given. And so we need to use that Spirit in our lives. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. When you get excited about what you know and believe and understand, and you go share it with someone, a relative, a neighbor, doesn't this explain why they just don't grasp it? It's spiritually discerned. And you can be telling them about the most exciting thing that you feel at that day and that moment, and they'll just sit there and look at you like, okay, now what? You know, what's next? Oh, I want to talk about this. And so, brethren, God is showing us how critical it is to use that Spirit and let it teach us. Let it guide us. Let it help us every single day of our lives. Without God's Spirit, we can't understand His Word, His will. That's why we need to also be careful that we don't force others with our beliefs. We're to be a light. We're to be a shining example. We're not to go tell people how they're living wrong. Until God calls them, they won't fully understand it. Now, if they ask you a question, answer their question. But we don't want to push them, just as God is not pushing us to live by His ways. He, as I said earlier, He offers it and leads us gently. Verse 13, we'll go back to the previous verse that we skipped over. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so God's truths cannot be grasped on our own. And so we can ask ourselves, is God's Holy Spirit teaching us? Are we listening carefully to what God is saying? Now, there's four basic ways that man gains knowledge in life. The first way is knowledge from experience. You know, we try different things, we see if it works, we test it, and then we go with that decision. So that's one way that we gain knowledge from experience. The second way is empirical knowledge, things that we learn through our five senses. The third way is rational knowledge, human reasoning, putting two and two together. We say, well, if this happened and this happens, I think this will happen. And so we learn through these three ways, but these first three ways are possible because of the Spirit in man. God gave us that ability to do that. But we must be combined with the Holy Spirit in order to learn this fourth way. And if you think about it, after the flood and at the Tower of Babel, how man was, how they wanted to build a city whose height reached up into heavens. In other words, we want to be protected from another flood, and we want to do what we want without having to worry about that. And what God said of that them at that time was, nothing that man proposes to do will be withheld from them. So God gave us that ability, but we also have the ability to walk away from God and not allow Him to teach us. And so we have to be careful with that. And so God changed the language. He scattered man to fulfill His purpose. He slowed things down a bit. And you think about it, man has gained knowledge, but without the Holy Spirit to teach us, much of what we do in life is in the wrong direction. You know, back in the old days, they fought their wars with swords and spears. Look at today. We have this knowledge, but look at how we're using it. We fight with machine guns and grenades. And back in those days, way old days, you know, they might have said, well, we're taking over a village, we'll burn it down with fire. Today we have nuclear bombs. And so you look at, we've used this knowledge, but not in a proper way. And so we know the world is headed for utter destruction, and that God must intervene in order to save life on this planet. So we need God's Spirit to educate us. We need it to teach us. And so the fourth way to gain knowledge is through revelation. You know, we have the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so God offers us this knowledge, and He reveals these spiritual things that the world cannot understand without the Spirit of God. So we need to not only renew God's Spirit, but we need to stir it up so that God can teach us, so that we can grow and be pleasing to our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. Let's look at one more reason for stirring up God's gift. The Holy Spirit makes us family. You stop and think about that. It literally joins us to the family of God. He says when He's dwelling in us, we become His sons and daughters. And it also joins all of us here together. You know, you are my spiritual brothers and sisters. That's what the Holy Spirit does. In fact, I'm closer to all of you. Even if I first meet you, I am closer to you than some of my relatives, because I cannot talk with them about things in the Bible in the way I can with you. I can go up to any one of you and discuss something about the future, the millennium, the truth, you know, God's righteousness. But if I discuss that with a family member that doesn't believe, there's no close connection. So God allows us to have this beautiful family relationship while we're still physical. But also we have this relationship with Him. Let's go back to the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans 8 and verse 9. And we'll look at this point a little more detail. Let's notice what Paul wrote here. Romans 8, verse 9. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And notice how we determine it. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And so God's Spirit is what makes the difference. It determines whether God considers us as sons and daughters, whether he considers us to be family. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him, this is referring to the Father in this case, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which dwells in you. And so here we see that the Father is the one who raises us. And this is at the final fulfillment of joining the family of God when we're resurrected there. And so you think about that moment when we're resurrected. What a beautiful and awesome moment. And we go, wow, I have the opportunity to now live forever. No pain, no worries. I mean, all of you, and myself included, we have worries every day, don't we? We have aches and pains. And yet God says, I'm going to give you a future of this. And so I could go on and on with that of how great that is. But now look at it from the Father's side in Jesus Christ. They are now, they have like the birth of all their children, just like we're happy to see our children. They're saying, we get to dwell with our sons and daughters and family for the rest of eternity and grow and laugh together and play and learn things and whatever we'll do as spirit beings. But my point is here that without God's Spirit, none of that will come to pass. We need to be careful there and make sure that we're stirring that up. Let's look at verse 13, Romans 8, verse 13. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to deeds, or you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so God's Spirit not only helps us recognize what we should do and not do, but it also gives us the strength to do it. Because look at that power that God is offering us. So it's critical to use God's power, to stir it up, because it is a matter of life or death, spiritually speaking. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So do you see the choice that is set before us? You know, Moses wrote back there in Deuteronomy about where God says, I set before you life or death, blessings or cursings. Choose life. I mean, God won't force us, but he's saying, I'm pleading with you. Please choose life. Please use my Spirit to grow and get ready for the kingdom of God. And so that life that God wants us to choose, he's not talking about just physical life. He's talking about spirit life, eternal life. That's what he's offering. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. So this is what I was talking about earlier. The human spirit, the spirit in man, along with God's Spirit, they must be combined together. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so, brethren, do we grasp the significance of this? We're counted as children as long as we're led by that Spirit, as long as we're taught and guided by that Spirit. When we remain in sin, we literally push God out of our lives, and we're saying we're willing to walk alone for a while without God's help down that path. And yet when we repent, that Spirit can be renewed so that we can grow and develop as God's children. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So here it's giving us the process. You know, first we're children of God. He already considers us children when his Spirit is dwelling in us. But here we become heirs after we're changed into spirit. And so we still are looking forward to receiving our inheritance at that time when our bodies are changed. And so God allows this whole process, and it's all made possible through the Holy Spirit, the power and mind of God working in us. And so that reminds each of us, like, we cannot go a day without God's power directing our lives. Let's look at this a little more in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. You know, we use a term in business today. A lot of people say, we guarantee our product. Okay? Well, God does the same too. And let's notice here how he does that. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Now he, talking about God, who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So placing His Spirit in us guarantees us that we are His children and that we can continue on that process to be born into the family of God. The word guarantee means a formal promise or assurance that certain conditions will be fulfilled. And who better than God to back that up? I mean, you talk about the guarantee that Almighty God is giving to each one of us. Now, you think about some of the guarantees that man gives us, and they're limited, aren't they? You know, last year I had a computer that went bad. The screen started separating on me, and it was breaking more and more. So I took it in. It was only 1 year guarantee. And luckily I got it in the week before it went bad. So they couldn't fix it, and they said, here, we'll just give you another one. But what if it happened a week later? You go, nope, no guarantee. Well, my point is man's guarantees run out, but God says, my guarantee is good and it will last forever. If my Spirit's in you, you are considered my children. And so it's critical that you and I have that Spirit working in us. You know, Peter makes a statement. He says, what manner of persons ought we to be? Well, with God's Spirit, He will guide us and teach us to continue to walk in this way so that we're ready to be a part of the family of God. Let's go to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. Brethren, if we fulfill our end of the bargain, we know that God will do His part. You know, that's what He's guaranteeing. That my Spirit, if it's in you, you can be in my family eventually if you continue in that way. Well, let's notice what it says here, 1 John 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps His commandments, so notice how critical this is, abides in Him. So this is how we abide in God, by living by His laws. And He in Him. In other words, God in us. The commandments is what allows this to happen. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit which He has given us. And so, brethren, thinking about how beautiful that is. When we live by God's laws, He's willing to literally reside within us. What an amazing thing. Our part is simply to keep His commandments. That's all He asks. The word keep here means to guard, to keep an eye on. It even means like a fortress. We build a fortress around His laws to keep them from escaping. That's what God is asking us to do with His holy laws, so that we hold fast to them and we don't let them get away from us and we go back into the world. We cannot let go of these laws because they are a path to our feet. That's how we continue in this way, through those laws and through God's Spirit. And it's the only way to survive spiritually, by living by those laws, which I mentioned already, is spiritual laws. Our bodies were designed to be a temple for God's Spirit. And so we have to consider how we treat our body, what we do, because that's where God resides. And so we have to consider how important it is to have the exercise, to eat a proper diet, to get our sleep. Because God says, I want to dwell in a body that you respect and you're taking care of because I'm going to dwell in that. Are you careful to respect God's dwelling place in all that you do? We have to realize we belong to God. We're His children. He owns us. We're His bond slaves. And so we're to act as if we respect Him in that sense, that everything He tells us to do, we're as a servant, we need to do that. That's a part of our life. That's what He created us to do. Let's look at verse 22 here. In the same chapter. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Big statement, isn't it? Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And so we must ask God to renew His Holy Spirit within us. He tells us to ask. And we can ask for other things as well. We cannot doubt it. But we do have to obey. We can see that that is a requirement. And so that is a huge statement. Whatever we ask. But we have to keep in mind, when we put other scriptures in with that, there are other criteria in there. In other words, we need to ask in faith. We need to ask according to God's will. We need to ask in Christ's name. And we also need to persevere. And there's probably a few more. But God says, ask, and I will grant it. Let's go to Luke 11 and verse 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And we'll see a little more on this point of how important it is to ask. Luke 11, Luke chapter 11, verse 13. So we need to keep these items in mind that I just mentioned, you know, asking in faith and so forth, in order to have answered prayer. It's so critical. Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that beautiful? God is reminding us, he said, I'm here. I'm your Father. I have the power to give this to you. I'm simply asking you to ask. So we need to do that on a daily basis. The Bible defines a Christian as a person who has God's Spirit. That's what he says. And so God offers us this gift freely. We need to ask for it. In other words, we need to pray daily to have God's Spirit renewed within us. Not weekly or monthly. Daily to have it renewed, because God's Spirit flows. When we show love, that's God's Spirit, for God is love. That's him flowing through us. When we're a light, God is light. That's his light flowing through us. So we need that. But it goes out, and we need to have it renewed so it can continue to work. And so we have to consider that God's Spirit is like water. And so that gift, in order to bear fruits, in order to grow in his grace and knowledge, it needs to be renewed continually. And so we need to ask. Brethren, the Holy Spirit is really more than we can fully comprehend. There's a lot we probably don't know about it, but here's a few things that we do know. Things that I've even talked about today. Consider this list. God is Spirit. We know that. He told us. God's Spirit is offered as a free gift. God's Spirit is received after baptism and the laying on of hands. God's Spirit will not force us. It leads us. It guides us. It combines with the Spirit in man to help us develop and build God's character. God's Spirit is given if we're obedient. His Spirit is renewed if we ask. God's Spirit is a guarantee of eternal life. God already considers us sons and daughters if we have his Holy Spirit in us. I mean, think about this list. This is so many things that God has told us. God's Spirit helps us to remember. We know that God resides in us, his Spirit in us, as his children. God's Spirit reveals the deep things of God. It gives us spiritual understanding and wisdom. And God's Spirit helps us to stay on the path of life. God wants us to have eternal life, and he makes this all possible through his power, through his mind, through his essence, dwelling in his children. Brethren, God's Spirit is so great. How great is that power? I do not know. But let me just give you a small example. Consider that light travels at approximately 186,000 miles per second. I mean, we cannot understand how fast that is. If you translate that into an hour, because we all drive on the freeway 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. If you went 100 miles an hour on the freeway, you go, wow, I'm really moving along. Well, God says here, or no, I shouldn't say God says, but if you translate the light that God created, how fast it goes in 1 hour, or how far? 670 million miles approximately. Can you imagine traveling at that speed? That's powerful. So let me go a step further with this. Our galaxy, just this one galaxy, is 100,000 light years across. Okay, so now let's put light how far it travels in a year, because that is a light year. Light travels roughly 6 trillion miles. I mean, we can't comprehend that, because if you're going 670 million miles an hour, you would roughly cover 6 trillion miles. That's just one light year. And then this galaxy is 100,000 light years across. Just this one galaxy. You talk about the power of God to do these things, to create the light, to create the galaxy. And God is saying, this power that I have, I want to give to you, my children. Do we grasp that? Do we understand why we need to renew God's Spirit? Why we need to grow in it? Brethren, we serve an amazing God. He created all these galaxies. He created our lives and everything we have around us to use and to enjoy. And at the same time, besides doing these great feats, he also knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows when a sparrow drops to the ground. I mean, you look at how detailed God is. He doesn't leave out one little thing. And so he's saying, when you get on your knees and you come to me in prayer and you ask, I hear you. I know. And I can renew my spirit in you. And so all the power in the universe represents only a small portion of God's power. You know, we can compare that, but that's still, God is so powerful that he made that. And there's even more power there. And so God is offering us a down payment of what we will inherit for our future. And so we need to wake up and think about that. And we should ask ourselves, are we using God's Spirit adequately? It's a free gift. He's saying, I'm making it available to you. Let's conclude with 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. Brethren, we must redeem the time. We know the days are evil. We know this world is headed on a wrong course. And we also know that the kingdom of God is getting closer every single day. We don't know when it'll be, but today is closer by a day than yesterday. And so we need to think about that we need to be ready for it. That's what God asks of us. Notice what Paul writes to Timothy here, 1 Timothy 1, verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So are you and I stirring up God's gift? Verse 7. Here's why we need to do it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so, brethren, that spirit is available to you and I, and we need to stir it up on a daily basis. Today I've talked about three reasons of why we must stir that up. It guides us. It teaches us. It makes us family. We are considered the children of God. That lady I spoke about at the beginning, Geraldine, she had no idea how dangerous it was to step off that path. And sometimes we don't realize how dangerous it is for us to step off the path of life. But brethren, with God's Spirit, the Spirit of power and love and a sound mind, he's saying, I'm willing to reside in you, in your body, as my temple, and to lead your life so that you can have eternal life. And so, brethren, I encourage all of us, let's stir up God's Spirit.